The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Mick Schatz, streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app. Now, here are Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
It is Wednesday at high noon at the Star in Frisco, and that can mean only one thing. It's time for Mick Schatz. You were thinking of another thing, weren't you? We are live inside the SWBC podcast studio. Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola, and everybody on time today.
Yes.
So that makes this a victory Wednesday.
Although,
tell us.
Could have been late.
You could have been late, but
you're
not.
What happened to you, Spags?
Well, the elevator door was struggling to open.
Not at this facility.
No.
Huh?
Oh, at a different facility.
Okay. No. Yeah. Oh, no, he said.
All right. I'll throw this out to start the show, and then we won't dwell on it. But I asked Everson when I walked in the door, what's the greatest medical invention of all time? And you said?
X-rays.
Okay. Mickey said?
Figuring out arthroscopic procedures. Okay. Surgery.
And I said the invention of ibuprofen and Tylenol is the greatest invention of all time.
Bill is having to arrive the travel, at 4:30 exactly. In the morning, caught up with you.
That 3 hours sleep yesterday, and then I got 10 hours sleep overnight. But I could feel it coming on the charter coming back, and it was allergies.
Oh, wow.
And during the show yesterday.
Allergies.
Well, I didn't. It started coming on yesterday.
As you get older, right?
And it was just this is. And I understand ragweed is going crazy
right now. Gotcha.
But anyway, I could feel it. It's one of those things you could feel it coming on at a certain time, and then there it is. Okay, it was on the flight home, and during the show yesterday, I had the sniffles. Okay, and so my wife said, "Take an allergy pill." Cleared it up like that, but I've got the sore throat issue.
It's allergies.
And so before I left the house, took some Tylenol, and I feel great now. So
greatest medical
invention of all time, Tylenol or ibuprofen.
I don't have them identified, but I think I have some.
Yeah. It's this time of the year, too, the fall.
As a matter of fact, yesterday we're taping press conference live. We're not taped. And I can feel something right here, right? And when you're on camera, you can't go like that, right? And I'm going, what's worse if somebody could see something?
I felt like that throughout
the show. No, the light would catch it.
Yeah. I felt like that throughout the show yesterday. So you caught the allergies from me.
Yeah, probably. And it was like, okay, I can't do it. And it's like, I don't even know if something's there. But
right. It feels like it. It's like when you wear a mask sometimes.
And then when we finally went to, of course, McCarthy showed up like 15 minutes into press conference live. He was supposed to start at 4. He got there about 4:10.
So you had to fill time.
So we had to fill time, and I'm going, oh, can you just show up?
So what did you learn from that? The great segue into Mike McCarthy yesterday. What have you learned since Monday night? This being a short week, players were available this morning.
Very many of them. As a matter of fact, I saw one who will go unnamed, walked into the locker room kind of late in our session, and he looked in. There was hardly any players there. He saw all the media, and he goes, oh, hell.
Back to normal.
And he kind of turned around.
That sounded like a veteran.
He went
that
into
was a
the
veteran.
Training in the training
that
room.
That was a veteran.
Right?
Yeah. That move,
It was pretty funny. I said, okay, that's no surprise. Mm-hmm.
So as we get prepared for Washington this week, this isn't your typical Wednesday because they're coming off the Monday
and
night
game. And
it's basically
going to be a late afternoon walkthrough today. Mm-hmm. They're just showing up for the meeting that's supposed to start, I think, now at noon. He kind of delayed everything so everybody can feel. And they're young, right? But you feel
so,
it.
So
right?
The ibuprofen can.
Yeah. I was thinking, 20, 30 years ago, when you used to get back off those charters like that or do the red eye from L.A., it's like, okay, no big deal.
Well, the
deal.
Players are all sleeping on the charter.
Yeah, I know. Mean, but it's still travel.
It's not the same.
Right? It's not the same.
That's funny. I never took that stuff. I think it was just a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
Like I deserve this pain. From just being tired. And sore from a game. Like, you know, I would never take anything. I'm glad I didn't. You find out about, what is it, Ensley? Kenny Easley.
Oh, yeah.
My classmate, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, man, he took so many. The lining in his stomach became compromised.
Yeah.
Just because he was hurting all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I didn't get into that, because I probably would have been that guy that takes them way too often.
So I do have some locker room updates for you. I bumped into, well, didn't bump. We passed, let's say that, in the hallway with Dak. And I looked at him and
don't
I go,
bump into him.
I see, I didn't want to say I bumped into him or ran into him.
Right.
I don't want to do that. Mm. And I said, can I shake hands with you, right hand to right hand? He goes, yeah, but lightly.
I wouldn't shake.
And before the game, he was shaking hands. Yeah, right-handed.
Right, but he probably had the little protective.
He did.
Covering
he had the.
Well, he didn't now. And the stitches are out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So, I told you the story yesterday about Parcells checking on the guy with bad ribs. No.
No, you didn't.
So I was saying I'm going to go.
You may have told the story. We weren't listening.
Somebody else, right? Yeah.
No one heard it from.
I mentioned
from
to somebody.
From noon to 12:45, no one heard.
I mentioned to somebody today. I guess the check's going to be can Dak shake hands with me, right? And so Parcells, when he was here, and I don't remember who it was, somebody had a rib injury. And he kept saying, yeah, I'm good to go. And Parcells wasn't buying it. And one day in the locker room, he came up from behind him and slapped him in the ribs. And the guy about jumped out of his shoes. He goes, yeah, you're ready.
He was the
so
best.
So that's what I was saying. I'm going to shake hands with Dak and see if he's ready, right?
I was only with him for a year, so I didn't get to hate him. So
yeah,
that's cool. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I enjoyed it for four years. But anyway, Michael Gallup mentioned that he said that it was sort of his decision. He said he just didn't feel like himself and didn't think it was time to go. And he said that's kind of what everybody's told me about that injury. It's like, make sure you feel right. Don't go out there until you have confidence in yourself.
Nice to have a win to go with that, so that he doesn't have to be under much pressure.
And so he sounded like, you know, he sounded encouraged about this week. As he pointed out, he goes, we got a lot of games to play. I want to be there for the whole time, mm-hmm. which is smart on his part, right? He said you just got to make sure you feel your old self. So. And he said, I wanted to get out there. It's hard to keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
So saw that. And how about this? It's in the Cowboys release. And they go on the front page here, if you guys can see. It says, by the numbers. And there's a 19 there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through it, and it says the Cowboys have held all three opponents to no more than 20 points, mm-hmm. 19 or less. And it goes on to say, this is the first time Dallas has held an opponent under 20 points in the first three games of a season since 1974.
Wow.
1974. You got to go back to Bob Lilly, Leroy Jordan, Mel Renfro, Cliff Harris, Cornell Green, D.D. Lewis.
Ooh, man. Remember those days, Bill?
I do remember those
days. Guys growing up,
he doesn't remember those days.
No, I don't.
I also remember the 1974 season was not a great season in Cowboys history.
Yeah, but it was still a winning season. They just didn't make it to the playoffs.
That's right. And by those standards, then, that was not a great season. Mm-hmm.
8-6,
at all.
Is
with
that
all
right?
Of those guys we just named out.
Uh-huh, that's right.
And that was all.
It was like the only time over an 18-year period or something like that.
It was almost all their last.
I was part of the 84 team that. Also,
same thing, didn't make it to the playoffs.
10 years later, yeah.
But at least you were, what would you finish in 84? You were
We were a winning season.
10-6.
Yeah, it was a winning season.
And even that year, they were 8-6. You just got off to that slow start. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all those guys in that team. So
wait. They got off to a slow start,
didn't they?
I don't remember. You just told me. Okay, it was 74. That was the year. I got you.
Yes.
That was the last year.
Yes.
But that was you're saying that that was the last year they limited a team to the first three opponents to less
no more than 20 points.
So that's a good start.
Maybe it was a good start. I was thinking they got off to a slow
No, the
start.
Offense sucked. That's what it was. I mean, the fact that you can hold it to that and you still don't do well. I would imagine they had some quarterback problems probably. Because if you're going to be that good defensively,
right,
and then you still don't make the playoffs, that's a tough one. That means that they had some issues in other areas.
So what 74, they opened the season with a win, 24-0 at Atlanta.
All right.
Okay?
That's nice.
Then a loss at Philadelphia, 13-10. A loss against the Giants, 14-6. So they only gave up 27 points those first three games.
So does that qualify a slow start then, Bill Jones?
That is a slow start. So it didn't matter that it gets back to your point that you got to score points in this league, right? And then they lost to Minnesota 23-21. Then they started scoring some points finally, but they still lost at St. Louis 31-28. It was a 1-4 start to that season.
Wow.
And then they rattled off four straight wins, won seven of their next eight games, but lost the season finale and finished 8-6 and did not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You got to tell me who the quarterback was.
Well,
I think it would have been
quarterback situation included Roger Staubach starting at quarterback. And, of course, that was Clint Longley.
Thanksgiving.
Coming in.
We're talking 74.
That's right.
Said.
Coming in on Thanksgiving in the 24-23 win when Staubach got knocked out of the game.
Over Washington, by the way.
That's right.
That the Washington people still remember.
Which brings us to this week.
That's right.
I remember Drew running by the safety for that last touchdown, right? Is that the one?
We were in Georgetown.
The Mad Bomber, Clint Longley.
Mm-hmm. 1 year before the Cowboys game, I think it was maybe it was a Monday night game. It was Sunday and just kind of sitting at a place and – we were talking, and the guy noticed that or kind of heard us talking about the Cowboys. He goes, how do you guys know so much about the Cowboys? And we said, well, we cover them. And he goes, well, I'm a Redskins fan. And he goes, and I just know that still they ruined my Thanksgiving that year. I still get sick to my stomach thinking about that
You had
25 years.
What has your life been like?
25 or 30 years later.
25 years to where it still bothers you that much.
It still bothered him to bring it up.
Sports fans, I love them, but sometimes they are, as they say, extra.
Yeah. So anything else out of the locker room that you'd like to pass along?
That one.
So you're thinking
Tyler
Gallup,
Smith.
As it stands on Wednesday, Gallup is gone. Of course, we were saying that on Friday last week.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, long as if he don't feel right, then don't come.
And Dak's
as
not
As long
going.
As they win on Sunday.
That's it.
And Dak's not going. It's like,
we know that.
Let's start, you know, right. Not start all that. And I would think next week is still somewhat.
Did he rule out Sunday when he walked by you?
No, he said nothing.
Okay.
To the source.
Because he didn't rule it out on Monday.
Yeah, well. Number one, the bone's got to heal.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everybody says, well, you can't force it. I said, there's no forcing. It either is or it isn't,
mm-hmm.
right? Number two, you got to be able to grip the ball. Number three, when you take the snap, it kind of hits your top hand right by the thumb. So there's a lot going on
there. I wonder if they'll lay off the under center snaps and just go
shotgun the whole time.
I guess you could. If you think about it.
But you still got to
catch it. Let's be safe. Yeah, you got to catch it. But it's not the same as if it's coming from under center. That's interesting.
And I wonder if he can – hey, I can't play with a glove on.
You can't throw with a glove on.
Right.
I mean, even in the cold, they don't throw it. Well, no, Teddy B. Teddy Bridgewater, he plays the glove.
Maybe in the rain.
Teddy, two gloves. You know, he plays with gloves.
And I never realized Brady plays with one on his left hand. Because I saw him miss practice all, so it was the week before.
Yeah.
He missed practice the whole week. And then I saw early in the game he took a snap from center and fumbled it. And I said, aha. And then I saw the glove was on his left hand. I thought it was on his right.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was like, okay,
sandbaggers. Big old sleeve, white sleeve on his hand.
And I thought something
up his arm.
Something was up. But that. You know, but then the next.
You know,
week,
he didn't go fighting for that loose football on that snap.
Well, he had a finger the next.
He's
week.
Smart.
Yeah.
He didn't dive.
You
don't get
to
be that age
playing
quarterback.
Right.
Be a dummy.
Especially if it's the center's fault. Yeah, you picked the thing up, right?
All right, well, let's take our first break here, and we dig further into Mickey's legal pad here on Mix Shots in just a moment.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh, well, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to Mick Shots.
Proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys? K-Post Roofing and Waterproofing. From your corporate homes to your home, have your roof checked by choice, not by chance. Call now, 214-225-4860, kpostcompany.com. I've edited this read.
You
because
have?
Because you don't. The whole
you didn't
read,
edit it very well.
No. I always start off with K-Post Roofing and Waterproofing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, this time I started with the copy.
Okay.
And if you go with the copy, it never mentions K-Post Roofing
yes.
and Waterproofing until they give the website.
You got that from me when I read the other
no,
day.
No, I've been doing it for
thing.
A year.
Okay.
I got started on the wrong one because I was getting ready for
yeah,
the second
read. Yeah, you're supposed
read.
To do the other one, man.
Well, that's next.
Okay.
That explains the false start there for this segment. Now, Mickey's going to make up for himself here. And, all right, Cowboys were able to run the football against the Giants.
They were.
A key to that victory was running the football.
So that
the
must
Giants.
Meant the offensive line was doing something right?
Yep.
Tyler Smith talking about how he feels like he's getting better each week. He's learning that he's got to get off on the snap and get to his spot as soon as possible. One of the keys that he said Jason Peters keeps pounding into his head, my words, not his, that you just got to get off on the snap and get to your spot first. Don't let that guy dictate to you. And he felt more comfortable. He looked more comfortable, right? And he said it's really helped being around Jason Peters. He said he kind of explains things to me in a way that he kind of simplifies things. So not only is Peters.
Think about the age difference there.
19
years.
21 and 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a father figure to him.
Yeah, right? Well.
Not a big brother. No. Maybe an Italian family. Right?
Could
I have a lot of kids?
Could be.
Could be.
Right?
Yeah, could be.
You have a baby at 20.
It could. Yep.
So anyway, he was talking about how great it is to, you know, have him around and be in his ear and, you know, actually playing next to him. And that was good. And here's another one for you. And Kevontae Turpin. So Noah was around him. I went up to him and I go, so when you started this, did you think after three games you'd be leading the league in punt return average? And he goes, you know, somebody just hit me up with that. I didn't realize it till just a moment ago. So he's averaging 16.3 yards a return, number one in the National Football League, direct from Poland.
Mm.
Imagine this guy was trying to get in the league.
I mean, he was in four or five different leagues over that period that it took him at one point to Poland.
So
what the hell was in Poland?
There was a European professional football league that he played.
They didn't want him in the USFL. I mean,
no, he was in the USFL. He was the MVP of the USFL. That was okay. The USFL was this past spring.
That's when they had their hiatus, right in between.
And so last fall, it was like August of last year.
Yeah.
And I know this just because when I was doing the preseason games, I researched all this. He was playing for a team in Poland. In August of last year, and it was he was signed and played like the last four or five games of their season.
Was it American football?
Yeah,
it
was American football in Poland. It was like it was not called NFL Europe, you know, like the old.
It was a professional
football league, American football.
Was it sanctioned at all by any
not
American
by the NFL?
Football?
I don't believe
you know there
so.
Were some coaches that with and
it was almost an instructional thing. You know how,
but it still had
Coach
to begin.
Coach Joe went over there and was coaching in Italy, right?
Yeah,
and it was kind of that same.
But that's still a part of an NFL program, I'm thinking.
I don't think it was.
Wow. It was the – I just have it – Europa League, or maybe I can't read my writing, European League. The Wrocław Panthers in Poland is who he played for. And a coaching advisor to that team in that league was Gary Kubiak, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was some American NFL influence in the league in some capacity.
Yeah, it was almost an instructional type thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he had played in that fan football, whatever.
But the other thing on the European League, some of the same team names as what we had in NFL Europe 20 years ago, the Frankfurt Galaxy. His debut was against the Frankfurt Galaxy and the Berlin Thunder he played against. And
so they're still in existence.
But they just took on those same team nicknames that they had when NFL Europe was going on.
Could you imagine how bleak the outlook was for him at that time? I mean, I know Poland's a beautiful place, but, you know, to think of it and play NFL football, how many people came to the games? How many teams did you have?
But even beyond that, you know, he played in what was called the Fan-Controlled Football League, which is a 7-on-7 indoor league. That was all the games were played in Atlanta last year at the Pullman Yards in Atlanta. I mean, he had some spectacular highlights. And just watching those highlights of him, and I remembered him, of course, from TCU.
Yeah.
But this is three or four years after he was at TCU. And to see, especially in the indoor league, you could really see his ability to catch the football, short game type stuff. Like if you get him on a crossing route or whatever and get the football in his hands.
Give him that much room.
Just give him some
room
and space.
Get him out of the living room.
I mean, he could turn, make a catch and take off with it.
I went to see an indoor football game, and it was like watching people play in my den.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it felt like. And, you know, we're giving him that much room after being in so confined. Yeah. I could just imagine.
For the young listeners out there, those under the age of 30, it's like playing in a phone booth. You don't know what a phone booth is, but for us, we can imagine.
It's kind of alarming, though, when I saw it. I mean, just all those hard hits.
You didn't
go
to any of the indoor games?
I did. I went to one in Amarillo.
What about
the Dallas Desperados
when the
here?
Desperados,
no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I remember
doing a game.
I covered those games.
I did
radio and TV for them a couple times.
I did too. And in fact, Rocket Ismail was the analyst on one of the games we did on television, and he spent the entire game just mesmerized by it.
He was ready to go out there.
His commentary was, "Oh my God, look at this."
Well, it's kind of it's a bit alarming. You're in such a small, confined space, and they are blasting each other.
Oh, into the boards.
Yes.
Like it's hockey.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I thought Turpin was, he was explaining, you know, somebody said, well, do you think you've got the attention in other teams? He goes, well, I've had the attention since I did what I did against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of know where I'm at. And he had told me before, after that Charger practice, not the game, I said, well, they're going to start pinning you to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, but I know how to get out of it. Mm-hmm. I said, okay.
Think about this. Okay, and producer Supreme Chris Beam just put this little bug in my ear that, you know, with the new Pro Bowl rules,
mm-hmm.
okay.
He's leading the league in punt return average.
Yes. So he's in the lead to be the
Maybe
Pro Bowl return
teamer.
Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you get him in that flag football they're going to play. Well, they've been playing that in the Pro Bowl, haven't they?
No, not flag. Oh, yeah, exactly. They
no,
just
it's
have
been
flags
it's
on.
Touch.
They don't have flags.
It's touch football.
That was a good one, Bill. That was a good one, Bill. I'm sorry.
Knew where he was going.
That was funny.
You hooked me.
but anyway, so he explained what happened on his kick because it pinned him on the sideline. And he goes, well, I'm in the middle of the field, and I knew I had room because, you know, where they were punting from. I didn't realize it. He said, so their punter's left-footed. So if he's going to pin me, he's going to kick it to the right. And he goes, so I kind of faked him to go right, and then he shanked it to the left. And that's why I got over there,
yeah.
And I got it. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but I remember the first time, I think it was John Jett, the Cowboys punter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was left-footed. And the first time he had to punt was against the Giants at MetLife or whatever stadium they were in. And Chris Bonio, who was the kicking coach then, he told me before the game, he goes, I guarantee you they will fumble two of his punts. And I go, why do you say that? He goes, he's left-footed.
Mm-hmm.
And when the ball turns over with a left-footer,
that's right.
It
goes in a different direction.
And it dips down.
Yeah.
It backs up. And sure enough, he saw that it was a left-footer.
Yeah.
And he needed to make sure that he was on the ball because it backs up on you. And then he said, yeah. And then he said, I just kind of did my thing. And he said, I just couldn't miss that punter. But he was 28 yards, right? It should have been almost 63.
That was a good one.
He says, I'll get one because I'm a playmaker. I love his confidence.
I like him. I mean, he talks just as much as Michael Parsons in regards to confidence and
right.
just raw confidence. It's not bragging.
No,
it's just
no.
Fact.
It's just not,
yeah.
I got this
there's
talent.
There's no
right?
bragging if it's fact.
He's so Louisiana, which is a good thing.
What part is he from?
Monroe.
Oh, yeah. He's 35 miles from Grambling.
Yep, mm-hmm. absolutely. So anyway, there's your other little tidbit.
You know, there's a number of left-footed punters in the league.
Are there
probably,
now?
That's probably one of the reasons is – Well, they're good. You have
right.
to be good enough to do it, but.
I remember when.
I bet you there's more left-handed punters than there are left-handed quarterbacks.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Oh, absolutely, right? And I remember when the Cowboys were going to face a left-handed punter, then Jett did more punting in special teams to get them ready for the way the ball spins.
Left-handed quarterbacks. Name one.
I just saw one. Who was it?
It's like we saw a white rhino or something.
Well, Steve Young.
No, I mean now.
Bill's going to look it up. He'll find it.
That's a good question.
On mixed shots here. On
well, let's take a break, and we're going to come back with a full list of left-handed quarterbacks in this league that besides Kellen Moore when we come back in a moment.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh. She's doing great.
Oh, yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar?
Great job, honey!
Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Bar and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Miller Lite is proud to bring you QBBQ Fest Dallas, located at the Miller Lighthouse at AT&T Stadium. Join your Cowboys from November 4th through the 6th for some of the best barbecue in the country. Get your tickets today. SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing provider of AT&T Stadium.
Good job, yeah.
You know, okay. You think it should say get your tickets today at? We'll have an at there next time.
Left-handed quarterbacks, mm-hmm. And I almost blurted this out, but I didn't want to sound stupid, so I sounded stupid anyway by not blurting it out. Tua. Okay. It was one of those things where Tua's left-handed, but I was like, well, what if he's not left-handed? That would really sound stupid. And now I think about it, I really sound stupid for not saying Tua. So
That's how obvious it was.
So Tua, okay, and Kellen Moore, obviously, was the only other one, was one prior, okay, 2012 mm-hmm. through 17. Mm-hmm. Okay, prior to that and also overlapping Kellen Moore for a little bit, it's an obvious one. With the
I could see him.
Producer Supreme's got it.
Tim Tebow.
He's a quarterback?
Yes, he was. He was a quarterback in a playoff game as well.
All right.
Okay.
For Denver.
I don't know that he threw the ball in that game, but he was.
It was actually a big throw, remember?
He made a big throw.
Yeah, he's decent.
One Alvin Harper type pass. That's right. All right.
How many won Super Bowls?
Well, let's go back through it here. Okay.
I already know.
I got Pat White. I got Matt Leinart. Okay.
Steve Young.
There you go.
Jared Lorenzen, left-handed, you know.
What was his first name?
Jared Lorenzen, the hefty lefty.
Yeah, we remember him.
Chris Sims, Michael Vick. Okay. There's another one
Super Bowl
on the premises.
Winners. Super Bowl winners.
There is another one. You know, we talk about Kellen Moore being a lefty quarterback. There is another one on the premises here at the Star, a prominent role on this coaching staff.
Nussmeier.
Doug Nussmeier. So in that quarterback room, you got your offensive coordinator and your quarterback's coach, both lefties. Okay. Mark Brunell, Todd Marinovich, a lefty. Okay. I'm going to go back to you want Super Bowl winners. How about Steve Young?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Four-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro, NFL Most Valuable Player for the Cincinnati Bengals. Boomer Esiason.
That's right.
He didn't win one.
No, he didn't win one.
Yeah.
No, did not win one. Okay. Jim Zorn, lefty.
Nope.
Bobby Douglas. Nope. Mickey's very familiar with Bobby. Here is another Super Bowl winner for you. With the Raiders.
Kenneth.
Kenneth mm-hmm. Stabler.
There you go.
And that
is it.
There are other names, but
since you brought up a former Bears quarterback,
yes,
to bring it back to here, Cooper Rush has engineered a game-winning drive in each of his first three wins, joining Virgil Carter as the only two quarterbacks with game-winning drives in each of their first three starts in 1968.
I've never heard of Virgil Carter.
I have not either.
You haven't heard of Virgil Carter?
No.
I've not heard.
I thought that was like Vince's nickname.
This lonely desert of quarterbacks threw out there after Rudy Bukic helped them get to the win.
What year is this?
1968.
Wow. You can have that.
Yeah. But he mentioned Bobby Douglas, who was a starter for the Bears. Virgil Carter was a starter for the Bears.
Oh, there's Doug right there. That's Doug.
So
I didn't know Doug would be actually listed.
Nussmeier?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, Virgil Carter, 3. I wonder if anybody's done it 4 times.
Oh, we're going to find out.
Right? Because it says here, if he wins his 4th career start.
The Cowboy fans do not want him to be to do it 4 times in a row, right? You want to be ahead. It's going back to Troy Aikman, where Aikman didn't have hardly any fourth quarter comebacks because he's ahead.
He's always ahead. He controlled the game with Emmitt Smith.
That's right.
What else you got?
That's not something you really want.
If he does it, he'll be the first Cowboys quarterback and 27th in NFL history to win his first 4 starts.
So if he wins the start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So guy before that, now you talked about the guy.
That was the game-winning drives to win.
All right, 4th quarter game-winning drive.
Yeah. Okay.
3 in a row.
Okay. So you're on a different subject now.
Yeah.
To start your career 4-0, he'll be, say it again?
To start the career with his 4th career start in a win would be the first in franchise history and 27th overall in the NFL.
And we're going to do you all a favor and not list the other 20.
It's not that rare.
Please don't.
It's not that rare.
Although I wonder how far back are they going.
Right. And then how far did those teams go?
Right.
It's like you said, having to come back all the time. Yeah, and we're talking wins. I know we changed subject, but having to come back all the time, you got to wonder what that season ended up like.
It's like
sometimes those
Elway did it all the time. Okay, Elway had, I don't know if he had the record, but he had so many that was high up on his Hall of Fame resume. And I kind of like
that.
Aikman liked the come from ahead wins.
Sometimes come from behind wins. Put him in that position.
Win from ahead.
Uh-huh. And by the way, there's been a couple stats I saw out there that Rush was tied with so and so and so and so. Well, one of the names they threw out there he was tied with was Kevin Sweeney. Now, he won his first 2 starts as a replacement team quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be an asterisk.
That really should.
Right?
They really should. If that's the case, then my strike year stuff should have an asterisk on it. Anybody that had a strike year should have an asterisk on their stats. And we only had 9 games in 87.
Yeah, but you played them against NFL players.
Yeah, that's true.
Not against replacement guys,
that's
right?
That's true. Mm-hmm. But the season was shortened.
Yes, it was.
So that's where the asterisk
comes in. The 87 season.
That's where the asterisk should come in.
Most interceptions in a 9-game season.
Yeah, that's the asterisk right there.
All right, so are we taking these Commanders seriously?
I am. By the way, Everson had 5 picks in 1987.
And none in a replacement game.
Mm-hmm.
And
because I was a union rep, Doug Nabbitt, I don't scab.
And you lost 4 games.
They lost.
No, I mean the league lost.
Oh yeah, okay, the league. I thought you really.
No,
yeah.
no, they yes, won.
They lost.
They got you 2 wins.
Right, they sure did. Yeah, but I think Washington ended up. God, they ended up.
They came
capitalizing big time on it,
and they beat you.
They sure did.
Okay,
Bill,
what was your question?
What are you studying? I said,
I was looking at the 87 season.
Are you taking the Commanders seriously?
I am. Mm-hmm. Of course I am.
Okay.
I'm taking them so seriously. I've already got my click to pick and all that.
Have you looked at around the league this year?
I know. I
don't trust anyone this
year. Okay, let me put it this way. Do you think the Chargers take Jacksonville seriously this weekend?
Tell me about it.
They better.
Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
They lost 38-10.
That's what I said. They better.
At home.
I got a feeling Herbert shouldn't have been playing.
Did Indianapolis take Jacksonville seriously? Well, they should have since their record against Jacksonville.
Not very good.
The years. Who did Jacksonville?
The Colts were not taken seriously, and they won.
All right. Is Philadelphia taking Jacksonville seriously this week?
Oh, I bet they are.
I bet they are, too. Who did Jacksonville play their first game of the year and lose to? Washington.
That's right. That's what I was going to point out. And the fact that Wentz in his first two games was pretty good.
Wentz might have been okay in this game if he had a chance to throw the football. He got sacked 9 times. And by the way, Brandon Graham is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
How many of those did he get?
He had 2.5 sacks and I think a forced fumble.
Wait a minute.
But DeMarcus Lawrence had 3 sacks.
Yeah.
Right?
And like 4 tackles, right? Something like that?
6 tackles.
Come on.
And he had a couple tackles for losses.
Oh, I know he was disappointed.
A couple more quarterback hits. I think
they're factoring in that Trayvon and Micah are going to be Defensive Player of the Week many times during this season.
Probably.
So they can't give it to a Cowboy.
Yeah. It has to be superlative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
3 sacks is pretty superlative.
So the Cowboys now lead the league with 13 sacks. Philadelphia is second with 12. 9-1 game. Mm-hmm. Like that'll jump you up there in the sack department. Lawrence, he said his foot's okay. So I saw him putting his socks on without much trouble. So that was a good sign, if that means anything to you.
Now, and Philadelphia jumped ahead of Washington in that game, but it wasn't, it was a 24-8 game.
That's what I'm saying. They only scored. You would think with 9 sacks, you had 40 points.
Right. Rushing the football, Miles Sanders had 15 carries for 46 yards against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 yards a carry right there. I mean, even Hurts, 9 carries, 20 yards.
Right.
You know, so they didn't run the ball very well.
No, it was bombs away.
Mm-hmm. 340 yards.
And they were wide open.
And a lot of them, even those 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't great passes.
Well, the one, he was out of bounds.
Right.
Was that the game? I think it was Devontae Smith caught one on the right sideline, and you could see I thought he's out of bounds.
Yes. Yes. Now
and,
I know
and then
about.
Rivera yeah. stood there like, and then he threw the flag, and they said it was too late.
Right.
Well, I don't know that it was.
Whoever
was doing the game, they said, well, the flag hadn't hit the ground yet. I go, what does that mean? He threw the flag.
So it has a point of contact?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not like making a catch and you got to have both feet down, right?
Is it like once you reach for it, is that when it's the...
Well, I think once you got it here, right?
Yeah, but what if it's just still in your pocket and your hand?
No, I think you got to pull it out.
Okay, so
you got to
pull it out.
Because you could put it there and like, I don't know.
And All right, and so Washington, and I'll have to go back and watch this game, but Washington...
I watched the whole thing live.
No, I'm talking about the Jacksonville game.
Oh.
First game of the year, they scored 28 against Jacksonville.
How many yards
And Jacksonville has given up 10 points since then.
How many yards did Wentz throw for, like 300?
He threw for 313 in that game. He was 27 out of 41 for 313, 2 picks and 4 touchdown passes.
And I bet they thought, whoa, we got our quarterback.
And he threw for 337
the next week
against Detroit in a 36-27 loss to the Lions.
Yeah. So.
They lost to the Lions?
Yep, 36-27.
So.
And, Philadelphia just beat the Lions by 3 in the opener.
Yeah.
So.
That's the one I'm thinking about. They came back on Philly.
Because I heard somebody talking about it, and they go, well, the Cowboys are only a 3-point favorite? How can that be? Well,
it's the NFL.
It's the NFL.
Man, Lions
and
are coming to
their
town,
first
too.
Two games weren't all that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not the, everybody's like, okay, they're going to be 3-1 going to the Rams. You better slow down.
This season is going to be so interesting. The P word keeps coming up, parity. And everybody doesn't like parity. You know, some people just like the status quo, where you just go in and if I'm the dominant team, then I should win. But this parity thing is it's kind of scary for head coaches, because no one – to me, parity means, like, no one's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that everything's evened out. It means, like, everybody's making mistakes and everybody's screwing up. Well, to where no one can take advantage of their situation.
And what we were talking about yesterday, so the amount of points being scored in this league is way down this year.
I got it for you.
To the point that only two teams scored 30 or more points this past week, and I believe it's since 2010 now.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I saw this note from Mark Maskey. I think he's still with the Washington Post. Scoring is down so far this season to 42.1 points per game. That's combined.
Yes.
Both teams.
The over.
From last year at this time, it was 47.1 through week three. Passing yards per game is down to 462.1 this season. It had been 490 through the first 3 weeks last season. And I thought I saw something about here's another one. He had another good one. The 18 games decided by 3 or fewer points and the 25 decided by 6 or fewer points are the most in NFL history through the first 3 weeks.
And that's kind of what we talked about. A total of 48 games, 25 of them have been decided by 6 or fewer points.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about yesterday with the no more than 2 scores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did go back and I found my thing, and it was – after 3 weeks, 17 teams are not averaging more than 20 points a game.
So there you go.
So don't be thinking no cakewalk on
Sunday. It's not a cakewalk, and we're going to explore it further tomorrow at noon here on Mix Shots.
Go Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!